I encourage you now to invite you now to open your copies of God's Word in Matthew chapter 12, verse 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Father, I ask that your word would shine in our hearts. Spirit, the way that you spoke to me, I ask for the blessing in the name of Jesus that you allow to be spoken to others. That as I am blessed as I read your word, so are those that hear it. That they may receive your word, Jesus, as though you were the one speaking. And the better way or the best way that I can think of is to ask for that blessing to be one of truth. Anything, Lord Jesus, that I may speak that sounds, well, that is wrong, allow that you, Holy Spirit, to allow you, I ask that you, Holy Spirit, will allow the people that are here to have deaf ears, but open their ears and their hearts to receive truth. Allow it to be the vehicle and instrument by which you transform our lives. That the fruit that come from that is implanted in our soul will be the witness of our future justification in the works that we do, in the words we say. Allow that to be to your glory, Jesus, I pray. Amen. Currency is the value that we have placed on something as it works in a representative way. Let me just explain what I mean. So our dollar notes, the $20, the $50, the $100 or what have you, is valuable to us because they represent something else. But in and of itself, in themselves, the notes are practically worthless. They're just plastic, worthless on their own. Their value flows from deep within Australia's economic heart, its organic core. So that plastic money that we all have in our wallets, well, some of us have in our wallets these days, represents something bigger, something alive. It's the heartbeat of our economy. And the same can be said about our words. Forget the modern nonsense that words can be violent. Words cannot kill. Goodness, most of us grew up with sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. Yet, words, they can be weaponized, can be hurtful, they can lead one to destruction when they're delivered with venom from a rotten and evil core. You see, words like plastic money, they draw worth from someplace deeper. Our words derive their value from the treasury of our hearts. Words represent and reveal the spiritual economy of our souls. Words in themselves may be worthless like on their own, however, they do represent the heartbeat of the soul. Words can have a good or bad value. We can build up with words or break down. They can be good fruit or poison. So they can be good or evil. But it is always the spiritual economy of the heart that places any value on our words. Have our words exposed the spiritual economy of our souls? Jesus gave a rebuke to Pharisees about this very issue. Words that come from the treasury of the rotten heart. Hear now from the word of God. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What Jesus says here is really, when I first started reading, it's like a time bomb. You read it and you reread it, but don't notice the impact it will have until its subtlety explodes your world apart. Last week, the USA sent a sortie of B-2 bombers, each carrying a 32-ton payload into Iran. Massive ordnance penetrator bombs they had, MOPs. And they look like ordinary bombs on the surface. However, they're designed to drill through 60 meters of hard earth before exploding deep underground. And when they detonate on the top part, the surface, they may seem like little damage at all. They make no difference. But deep below at the core, deep below the surface, they have completely disrupted the place. We won't know how impactful these bombs were or are until time reveals how the Iranians conduct themselves on the world stage. It's like the word of Jesus. You hear him teach, and his words seem like ordinary words, but they dig deep into our hardened hearts. And when they find their target, his words, they upend our lives. His words, they should totally disrupt your life. You won't see the full impact right away. Only time reveals how deeply his words have penetrated by how you live and how you will speak. Have they uprooted the poison of the rotten heart, producing good fruit like love and truth? Or is your heart too hard, clinging to the same venom like the Pharisees had with evil words? Your life's fruit, your words, it shows the state of your soul's treasury. Time will tell what Jesus' truth bomb has done in you. But you know what? The impact of Jesus' words, they do not destroy ourselves. We are, as persons, still here we are. Jesus' words, they don't destroy who we are in self. It destroys the evil within. And it's his words exploding the evil within is what gives us the ability to no longer live for evil or to produce bad fruit. Rather, those who have the words of Jesus upend their lives, leveling the evil within, have the ability of choice. A decision to make between two types of living. A life that is good, producing good fruit, or a life of evil that produces bad fruit. Listen carefully to the penetrating words of Jesus. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. See how Jesus isn't really describing the relationship between tree and fruit. Did you see it? Jesus isn't saying a good tree produces good fruit or a bad tree produces bad fruit. He says, choose. Don't be a hypocrite. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. And then Jesus gives a reason for it, for the tree is known by its fruit. Today, Jesus offers his penetrating words to you and to me. To have Jesus disrupt our lives, to level the sin within and produce the ability to become a tree that makes good fruit.
that is known as good because of what Jesus has done for us. Have you accepted Jesus? Or have you rejected Jesus? Choose. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. You see what he's saying? You either align yourself with me, with Jesus, and show fruit that comes from repentant, holy hearts, or produce bad fruit by owning your badness. We cannot have it both ways. Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. There's the choice, for the tree is known by its fruit. And the reason for this very crossroads, the reason I believe, well, we see why Jesus is confronting the Pharisees with this challenge has been because of the previous section. Jesus has just been confronted by the Pharisees, and the Pharisees have been attacking the person of Jesus. These people have seen the works of Jesus, his good fruit, his healing, his understanding of God's word, his living out the true meaning of the Sabbath, his power and authority over the spiritual realm. But the Pharisees, who are supposed to be the most righteous and holy among the people, have rejected Jesus. The Pharisees live out the law of God better than any of the others, and yet they have spoken out against Jesus and thus spoken out against the Holy Spirit. And by their words have revealed their hardened heart against Jesus. And by their words, they have exposed the malice within. And in that state, Jesus says they have become unforgivable. They are unjustified before God. Sure, they may convince others of their righteousness by externally and mechanically following the law of God, but by their words, they have exposed their internal evil, the spiritual bankruptcy of their hearts. So just as they have rejected Jesus by his words, but they're all behaving as though they're righteous, Jesus says, make a choice. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, he's saying to them, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. How can you produce good fruit when you are a bad tree? How can you speak good when you are evil? Goodness can't be faked. Because goodness, it's not merely the mechanical actions that we do, or the echoing of words. Goodness derives its value from the condition of the heart. Just like a $50 note, in and of itself, the note itself has no value, but it relies on the economic heart of the land. And so too our actions. Everything you say, in and of themselves, derive their value from the spiritual economy in your heart. Therefore, a person's heart is exposed not only by what they say, but how they live and treat others. Verse 35, the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good, and the evil person out of his evil treasure brings forth evil. Jesus is saying you can't fake good fruit. You may try. It may look all right on the surface. But when you bite into it, when you really taste it, you soon realize it's rotten within, evil inside. And this is how God makes sure those with bad hearts, rotten intentions are exposed. Eventually, the mouth confesses what the heart believes. Now, Jesus may not only intend what he says as an outright command, make. You should make your lives good or bad. But he's teaching in a way that should cause us to ask, how can I make my life good or bad? That's what it's about. It's not so much what is he actually literally saying, but from what he says, how it impacts your life, and it must do something to your soul. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. There's a decision there. Or either or. It makes me ask, how do I get rid of the internal rot when I'm a bad tree? Jesus doesn't say it here, but he implies there must be some kind of action. Make it. Do it. And I reckon that action he's after begins with the Spirit of God. When the Spirit of God, he penetrates your hard-hearted heart, and he detonates that grace of God, his own attribute, within your heart. And so the first thing that usually occurs when this happens are some words that you will speak. Is Jesus someone greater than just a mere ordinary man? Why do all these people around the world keep worshipping Jesus in the face of opposition? Is Jesus really who he says he is? It's like an MOP, that bomb. The Spirit penetrates deep into a hard-heartedness and then explodes the gospel of Jesus in our hearts. And if so, then if that happens, there must be some kind of action. And the exploding work of the Holy Spirit does the beginning work, the essential to actually do something. You see, previously in the Bible, Jesus said that good trees, they bear fruit, as though he's just describing the passive nature of goodness in a good tree. By its very nature, good trees will bear good fruit. Now Jesus, it seems like he has changed it somewhat. Like Matthew is recording a way that provokes the people to want to get into action or do something about it, or to question. Make, he says. Make. Implies we are to do something, and that's something that he implies for us to do we can't do. And there it is, isn't it? The hopelessness with that hope that what Jesus asks, he can do. I sometimes wonder when I read passages like this, if Jesus is causing a disruption at the very core of his audience, how can we make? How can we become something that is beyond us? The only action that Jesus would call anyone in this context, after that he's called them blasphemers of the Holy Spirit, is the action of repentance. How do we make a good tree? Well, beloved, we reach out to God in repentance, of acknowledging that we once rejected Jesus. We acknowledge our sin. We acknowledge that we're all bad trees. Evil in our core, and our value, well, we grab value and it stems from the evil treasure within. And then we say that we believe in you, Jesus. By faith I've come to you, surrendering to him. To him, the only one that can make good trees. That is how we may be called to action. Repentance. I think we should be doing a lot more repenting than what we do. And some of us haven't even repented at all. So I beckon you, come to Jesus. Repent. And by faith, believe in him. Plead that the Holy Spirit will begin a holy and good work in you. But you see, the teaching of Jesus It's not about a mere transaction for his good for my bad. It is that, but it's not all of it. It is also a calling for transformation. Jesus makes us good by taking our bad so then our lives may reproduce the good he has given us. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or the tree bad and its fruit bad. Don't you see what Jesus is saying to the Pharisees and to you today? Live according to who you are. Good tree, make good fruit. Bad tree, own your bad fruit. And so what is good fruit? The last time Matthew records the Pharisees being attacked with that accusation that you read there by Jesus, you brood of vipers, was when John the Baptist charged the same Pharisees to actually produce good fruit. But now Jesus is echoing it in a different way. In Matthew 3:7, we read in the Bible, it says, when he, John the Baptist, saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." You see, good fruit, it's living a reorientation, a life, a reorientation to what is holy, of living a manner that reproduces the fruit of the Holy Spirit that he has deposited in your soul. In Galatians 5:22, it tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the attributes, the virtues of the heart. It is the fruit of the Spirit. It is what God the Spirit produces within those who all claim Jesus as Lord. And then the Bible goes on to explain and to suggest and exhort. A couple of verses later, it says in Galatians 5:25, if we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Do you see what the Bible is saying? The Bible is saying to you that you are in Christ. It's asking you and exhorting you to align your actions and lifestyle with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Like a child. Remember when you were a kid, following your dad's footsteps and trying to walk exactly where he walked? The fruit of the Spirit, it is following, it is leading us to follow the Holy Spirit. It's also the fruit that shapes us, transforms our character and actions to reflect that of Jesus Christ. And so when you start to consume or embrace these Holy Spirit virtues, when you start to practice them, they shape you. And they enable you to then produce in your life the same. Your life then becomes one that loves others. It lives joyfully, acting with patience, etc. And this must hit us like a truth bomb. It must hit us like a truth bomb that this is what God expects from us, to action this out, that his fruit within us is to be replicated outside of us. Sometimes I wonder, because we want to read it like a passive description, good trees produce good fruit, so then we say, see, I'm a good tree, I automatically produce good fruit. But there's a twist to it. There's something that should shock us a little bit. When Jesus uses a word that you think, did he really mean either make? Does he mean make like a verb? Does it make? But it, whether he does or doesn't, it's supposed to mean, should I, as a good tree, then
make good fruit? And it challenges us to mull it over. However, God's good fruit is more than cold, mechanical imitation. It is not as though God has called us into his army, because sometimes when I first started, I even preached it, by the way, when I preached Galatians 5 once, about I thought it was like the goose step. You see, I thought that the way that we were supposed to keep in step with the Holy Spirit is that we're all soldiers and we're all marching and we all have to march in unison. Just step in line, Wally. But it's more than that. It's to keep in step with the Spirit is to surrender to the grace and the mercy of God, and then to draw from the holy treasury of the fruit that the Holy Spirit has deposited in your soul. And that it then becomes the model by which you then walk. And that's what it means to keep in step with the Spirit. Surrender. I've used the word quite a lot. I think sometimes we believe that surrender is just giving in. Surrender is giving up. Giving up to the idol of who I am, of who you are. You see, surrender means God looks at you all and says, don't like you. Come, and I will make you like my son. Sometimes we read this and we think that the gifts of the Spirit I'm supposed to use like an instrument. I'll just use love and become more of a loving Wally. To be in line with the Spirit is to surrender me and to hold on to Christ and to live like him and look like him. Do you see God's good trees? They produce good fruit. They're not using the fruit, but the fruit is transforming you. That's surrender. To let go of you and let the Spirit work with his fruit, and you consume that. And in consuming the fruit, you're being transformed into the image of Christ. So good fruit isn't just feeling love, not feeling joy. It's living them out. Good fruit is the love of God firstly transforming me, my heart, my soul, to then express in action. And then the first revelatory action of the heart is through the mouth. Our words. Good fruit is thus to live out the ongoing transformation of God the Spirit in and through our lives. You see, when Jesus says, "You brood of vipers, how can you speak good when you are evil? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Jesus calls those who have evil within, but speak with velvet tongues, snakes. You vipers. Jesus hates hypocrites. And by the way, that's signature Jesus. There's just something about the way that Jesus is and he thinks. He just hates hypocrites. He doesn't have time for the deceiver. He says, either be good from a good heart or own the evil from your heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance. Out of the overflow. So it makes us think that our hearts are good or evil, and they're more than capable of producing more than enough for the self. Because our hearts, whatever they're producing, it can be more, because there can be an overflow. And that overflow, Jesus says, comes from our mouths, and the overflow is our words, like a waterway that overflows. In our old home, some of you may have experienced this, but we had a standalone septic, and the waste was buried with the drain under the ground that then leached into, someone made a branch and dug a hole so it could leach further under the ground. So the septic would accumulate underground, and our waste would then begin breaking down, Sometimes there would be a lot. And then the septic couldn't handle it. So they couldn't handle such an amount. So then it would overflow under the ground into these leach drains. It was all good. And you couldn't even tell until there was heavy rain. The excess water on the land would cause the treated waste to rise. So sometimes that stench that came up by itself or with a small trigger, rain, came upwards. Nevertheless, you know, that stench and that drain, it was always there, just beneath the surface. You couldn't see it exactly, but when it would rise up, you could smell it. And you knew exactly where that smell came from. And so it is with our words. Sometimes a small trigger, it raises the stench of our hearts. You know, you may not see words like these, but sometimes they carry such a stench, you know exactly where they come from. So our words can betray the holy character we think we have. But on the other hand, there is, Jesus says, a heart can be good. 35, the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. Jesus says the goodness that we speak and live by our lifestyle comes from the treasury of our hearts, the bounty that we have stored in our soul. You know, I've thought about this quite a bit, and I reckon that this means that when the soul, your heart, is content and at peace, so shall be my words and actions. And that contentment and peace, as you already guessed, only comes from the work of the Holy Spirit showing you Jesus Christ in his glory. So I found that this teaching of Jesus is one of the easiest and hardest realities that we can use for self-examination or analysis. I do hope, as difficult as it is, as you're hearing me preach, you're asking this very question: am I a good tree or am I a bad tree? Am I good or evil? Is my soul full of good treasure or evil treasure? This doesn't mean that you're asking yourself, well, generally I'm okay, generally I'm good. Generally I say good things. Jesus means more than words. It's certainly about words. As you can see in verse 36, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be condemned, and by your word justified, and by your words you will be condemned. But I have to remind you and remember, Providence, it is from the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. So when Jesus says people will give an account for every careless word, it is relative to the careless words are relative to the heart, the bad tree, the evil heart, the evil treasury of the lost. But you see, that's the test, that's the challenge, that's what makes self-examination using this passage so very difficult, because there is a gauge. What are your words like? How do you behave? It sends you back there, doesn't it? Do I need Jesus? Then repent. Do I have Jesus? And your words sound like they come from a bad tree? Repent. If your words are good, your actions good, your soul content from a treasury of good, rejoice. The witness is you are justified. And justified, he does not mean anyone can earn salvation or absolution from God's judgment by merely speaking words. He's, keep it in context. He's talking about the words are coming from the state of the heart. Because you can't see the heart, the words tell you about the heart. It's the evidence of the heart transformation that is declared by words. Words reveal the hidden spiritual economy of the soul. The words are the megaphone of our body that come from the mouth.
But where the words begin, where we formulate what we say, that comes from the heart. And the words testify to the condition of the heart. So this penetrating bomb that has landed upon us and burying itself underneath, deep inside us, the good person out of his good treasure brings forth good. It makes you then ask again, these different waves at this time, am I a good person? Because a good person has good treasure, says Jesus. And this is a good person who has good treasure brings forth good. You see, and there's the challenge to these Pharisees and to you. You think yourself as good? There is no one good, no, not one. We all need repentance. We all need to come to Jesus. And our words and actions testify to that. But when we come to the Lord Jesus, by the great work of the Holy Spirit, implanting repentance and faith in our souls, and we call out to Jesus as Lord and Savior, that is the witness, the words, the witness of our heart that has come to Christ. And Jesus says that that will be our justification. Words, though, affect all of us. But not all of us will be justified by the words that reveal the heart. Does my life reflect a good heart or a bad one? And so there remains the tension of the Christian life. Because the Bible tells us that we are sinners and yet saints. And there's also the rebuke to the Pharisees. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad. I think Jesus means something like, make the tree good and it will produce good fruit. Get the tree good and it will produce good fruit. Get a bad tree, it's going to produce bad fruit. However, like any good gardener would tell you, a good tree needs fertilizer. You can't be just left alone to produce good fruit. Make the tree good. Make it good and its fruit good. And there's our calling for today. Even though we are saints, we will still sin. But the action is of repentance and a continuous one. 1 Peter 3 tells us, let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. That's an action. Do. We are also called by Peter in 1 Peter 1:14, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance, but as he called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Do. That is how you become good. Not as how we are made good, but in the goodness of the Holy Spirit, working with his good virtues in us, we then produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. As it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on him as Father who judges impartially, according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. Throughout the time of our life here on earth, conduct yourselves with fear in pursuit of God's holiness. Our call is to be holy, to reveal the goodness of God. And so we are to cultivate the good tree that the Holy Spirit has made us. We've got to take care of our life, of who we are. Sometimes I think we read these verses too much in the passive. I've said it twice now. A good tree produces good fruit. But I think there's more to that. Look after your hearts, beloved. Nurture them. Fertilize them. Let me tell you what 2 Peter says in verse 5 of chapter 1. It says, in salvation, for this reason, make every effort. Hear that? Make every effort to supplement your faith. I have to add, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. Listen now, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they will keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. See? Make every effort to supplement your faith. That's our charge. But my final exhortation, our words, beloved, to one another especially, to the world, but to one another especially as I'm talking to the church, there should be one of fragrance. 2 Corinthians 2:15, for we are the aroma of Christ to God, aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? Be who Christ has made you to be. Make the tree good and its fruit good. Speak out of the abundance of good that the Spirit has placed in your heart, and bring forth good from the good treasures of His holy suppository. And that shall be the source of the words. You confess that Christ is Lord, and He shall be the witness to your justification. Allow me to pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Jesus, help us to be challenged by your word. Spirit, I ask in Jesus' name that you'll grab this truth and like one of those bombs that just drills and drills, that you would keep going and breaking hard-hearted hearts, especially my own. And then, Holy Spirit, upend my life so that there will be less of who we are. And as we consume your fruit, Holy Spirit, we may be transformed all the more into the image of Christ. In your great name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.